This is The State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Isaac Davey Aronson, in for Frank Stacio. Earlier this month, a moratorium went into effect in Fayetteville on so-called consent searches. It's a common law enforcement practice in which a police officer can ask to search a suspect based on nothing more than a hunch. The city council has imposed the four-month ban on the searches, citing concerns about racial profiling. The sides are sharply drawn in the debate. Proponents of the moratorium say it's necessary to stop police officers from abusing their power. Opponents say without the ability to conduct consent searches, police efforts will be seriously hampered. Joining us now to talk about this is Jeff Welty. He's an assistant professor of public law and government at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And we're taking your calls and emails today. Do you think Fayetteville was right to impose a moratorium on consent searches? Do you think the move will hamper police efforts? Or do you have a question about consent searches? Or have you yourself been subjected to one? Give us a call, 877-962-9862, or email sot@wunc.org. Jeff Welty, welcome to The State of Things.
Thank you.
What is the controversy in Fayetteville over consent searches all about?
Generally, it's about whether police ought to be able to ask motorists during or after a traffic stop for permission to search their vehicle. And as you indicated in your introduction, some people feel like that's a power that's been used in a discriminatory way in Fayetteville. The police generally don't agree with that and think it's a valuable law enforcement tool. And so they're not happy with the moratorium the city council's imposed.
What does the moratorium mean practically for the Fayetteville police, in your view?
It means that for the next 120 days, assuming that the moratorium continues, isn't successfully challenged in court or anything of that nature, that officers who stop motorists in Fayetteville will not be able to ask them to search their cars.
So we've sort of defined it now, but just for those who don't know, I mean, can we define what a consent search is? I mean, one of my questions, for instance, is can police stop somebody solely for the purpose of performing a consent search, or is it something that goes along with a stop for another reason?
Okay, good question. And the answer is no, police can't stop people, compel them to stop for the purpose of asking them for consent to search. The issue in Fayetteville really comes up when an officer stops a motorist for another reason, speeding, let's say, or running a stop sign. And in the course of issuing their ticket and returning their license to them, subsequently says, listen, while you're here, do you mind if I take a look in your car? And that's the practice that's at issue.
And so a police officer says, do you mind if I take a look in your car? The person has a right to say no.
Absolutely.
How is that different from when a police officer can search a person or a vehicle against their will?
Sure. If the police develop evidence to believe that the person's doing something wrong, that they're committing a crime or that they have evidence of a crime in their car, that they have drugs in their car, if they reach a sufficient level of evidence called probable cause, then they're entitled to search the car with or without the person's agreement. So these consent searches really come into play in situations where the officer doesn't have that quantum of proof, but may have a hunch or a feeling that the person's engaged in unlawful activity and chooses to use a consent search as an investigative technique.
Why would someone agree to a consent search if they don't have to?
Well, that's a tough question. For somebody who doesn't have anything in their car, for example, they may figure if they consent to a quick search, they'll be on their way quickly. They will have dispelled any suspicion. And so it's not that hard to understand that scenario. The more difficult scenario is when somebody does have something in their car and you say, well, why would anybody agree to that? And there might be lots of reasons. Some people might feel like if they consent, that will allay the officer's suspicion and they won't actually search. They may have forgotten that they've got something in their car that's unlawful, or they may feel some level of an obedience to authority or a desire to please the officer.
Another question that's come up in all this, I think, is whether refusal of a consent search can be used as probable cause to then search somebody.
By itself, it's perfectly clear that refusing a consent search doesn't provide probable cause. Most courts say that it can't even contribute to probable cause. It can't even be a factor that's used in determining probable cause, although I guess I'd say that's not as completely settled.
This all arises from accusations of racial profiling. So I want to get some numbers out there. Fayetteville's police chief, Tom Bergeman, told the city council that in the first 4 months of last year, his officers conducted 1,190 traffic stop-related searches. And of those drivers and passengers, 72% were black. And officers found contraband, including guns, stolen property, and drugs, in about 17% of those searches. Do those numbers raise any red flags to you?
Well, raw numbers are hard to know what to make of them. I mean, you look at the population of the city of Fayetteville, and it's about evenly split between white and black, with some Hispanic and other races mixed in there. When you look at the traffic stops in the city of Fayetteville over the past couple of years, about 40% of stops have been of white motorists and about 56% have been of black motorists. And if you asked the police to explain why that is, they might say, look, minority neighborhoods tend to be hardest hit by crime. We're policing the hot spots where the crime is. And so the result is what appears to be a disproportionate pattern of stopping or searching black motorists. But what's really driving that isn't race, it's patterns of criminal activity.
Certainly one of the questions here is how much people understand their rights when they are pulled over, when a consent search is requested. I want to take a call now from Rob, who's calling from Raleigh. Rob, thanks for calling in. You're on the State of Things.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, most of this is probably because people don't understand their rights, that they do have a right to refuse a consent to search request. But moreover, it's mostly the minorities that don't understand their rights more than any other race. And it's probably just a disproportionate number ratio because of that.
Rob, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. I mean, there is clearly this question of whether people understand what their rights are when they're pulled over, and that perhaps there are certain populations who are better educated in their rights than others. One question that's come up is whether police could be required, for instance, or just even encouraged to make those rights more clear when they ask for a consent search.
Our appellate courts have indicated that an officer – let me back up and say these requests for consent to search most often happen at the conclusion of a traffic stop. So the driver's been issued a citation or a warning. Their license has been returned, and at that point the officer might say, may I search your car? Our appellate courts have said quite clearly that officers aren't required to tell the motorist at that point explicitly, you are free to go. You may decline any further interaction with me. But – if the overall tone or tenor of the interaction is one where the officer is compelling a search instead of merely requesting a search, then that's improper. So courts look at the totality of the circumstances, and if the officer is behaving in a way that's coercive, that's not going to be a legitimate request for consent, even under existing law.
If there is racial profiling happening in this situation or any other, can a moratorium and investigation like this, because the city council has retained outside consultants to investigate the practice, actually prevent racial profiling from happening in the future?
That's hard to say. It depends, I guess, what the consultant recommends. There are a number of steps that folks recommend as ways to combat racial profiling, including doing additional training for officers, carefully recording the reason for stops, and actually video recording the stops themselves, which I understand they're moving towards video recording all traffic stops in Fayetteville, essentially as a way of assessing whether officers are behaving in a discriminatory way. So I think all those steps could potentially be helpful. Whether you can ever permanently eliminate people's racial biases, you know, that'd be a tough task.
Sure. We're going to bring in voices on both sides of this issue in just a moment. But of course, this issue does raise some technical questions. And one of them comes from a caller on the line from Cary. Wesley, you're on the State of Things. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it's a question about when the speaker brought up the issue of a police officer having probable cause. Now, if a police officer wants to search a car on the noble events and things, he has to have a warrant and the probable cause to get the warrant. Is that correct? I would understand that maybe in a case like an Amber Alert, a kidnapped child, you might be able to search a car. But in ordinary circumstances, my point would be that I would tell the cop, get a warrant.
It's fortunate that we have a professor of law and government here to answer that question, Jeff Welty.
Yeah, the caller's understanding of the law isn't correct. The United States Supreme Court has said that because vehicles are inherently mobile and are less private than our homes, there is no warrant requirement for searching vehicles. As long as an officer has probable cause, that's sufficient legally to justify the search, and they do not need a warrant as they would typically need to search a home.
We're going to talk much more about this issue after the break, bring in voices on both sides. Before we go, I do want to ask you, Jeff Welty, about one of the sticking points has been this question about whether the city council has the authority to step in and say to the police, this is a practice that this particular tactic is one that you cannot use for this number of months. I'm wondering if you have a view on whether the council has that authority.
My view, which isn't going to be satisfying probably to your future guests, is that it's a very unsettled question. The argument that the city council can't do this is that by statute, police officers are granted the power to do consent searches. The nutshell of the argument on the other side is that the city council is in charge of all the departments of the city. The police department is one of those departments, and the city is responsible ultimately for whatever it does and so must have the authority to control it. And we just don't have cases in North Carolina testing how those two principles compete.
Well, we'll hear the arguments on both sides of that and much more in just a moment. Our guest is Jeff Welty. He's an assistant professor of public law and government at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And we'll take your phone calls and emails, 877-962-9862. SOT@WUNC.org. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned. This is The State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Isaac Davey Aronson, in for Frank Statio. Today we're talking about consent searches in Fayetteville. The city council there has imposed a moratorium on them while the practice is evaluated by outside consultants. Some think this is necessary to combat racial profiling. Others think this will hamper police officers in their work. In the studio with us is Jeff Welty. He's an assistant professor of public law and government at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Joining us now by phone is Jeff Thompson. Jeff is a talk show host on WIDU-AM radio in Fayetteville and serves as chairman of the Fayetteville Advisory Committee on Transit. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
And John Midget is executive director of the North Carolina Police Benevolent Association, and he joins us now in the studio as well. John, welcome to you.
Thank you very much, Isaac. I appreciate it.
And we're taking your calls and emails. Do you think Fayetteville was right to impose a moratorium on consent searches? Do you think the moratorium will hamper police efforts? Do you have questions about the practice, or have you yourself been subjected to a consent search? Give us a call, 877-962-9862, or SOT@WUNC.org. John Midget, I want to start with you, and at first I want to ask your definition of a consent search and whether we've gotten it right so far.
Well, I think Jeff definitely has it right, and it follows along the line of after in the case of traffic stops, when an officer has stopped a vehicle, and what the courts have ruled basically is that sixth sense an officer has that there's something going on there that they can't quite put their finger on, but it prompts them into a situation where they would want to ask someone if they would give them the right to search any part of their vehicle. And so it is absolutely something that people have a right to say no to, and it is what it implies it is. It is a consent by the individual that is being asked to have the search done.
So give us your view on the controversy in Fayetteville. What's going on?
Well, there are a lot of issues going on. Our primary issue is the moratorium. This is a part of what we are seeing happening more and more often, where local officials or government officials see something that is perceived by the public to be a dangerous situation. It may or may not be, but regardless of that, you cannot set a moratorium or a local law that supersedes or sets aside the state or federal authority that is very clearly mapped out in the law. Police officers in North Carolina get their authority to enforce the law from our state statutes, and no one, including local governments, can set that aside.
Jeff Thompson, turning to you, and we'll certainly talk more about that legal issue of the city council's authority. But Jeff Thompson, how do you understand the situation and what this controversy in Fayetteville has grown out of?
It's an issue of racial profiling. And we believe, and our radio station, certainly Mr. Midget knows, has advocated on behalf of the African-American community. We believe it is symptomatic of a much more serious issue, and that is racial profiling, or what's commonly referred to as driving while black, that if consent searching were restricted, at least to some extent, it might help better determine if racial profiling is the root cause. Many jurisdictions have banned consent searching. At least five states have banned it. Many others at the state and local level have restricted it, most recently West Virginia. new law went into effect the first of the year that requires police officers to notify the motorist why he would like to search the vehicle and to request that they sign a document authorizing it. And so I think that ultimate, as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, the PBA thought the idea of written consent to search would be a good idea, put that to the police department, and they blew him off. I may be wrong on that, John. I'd love to hear about that. But I think it goes much deeper than just consenting to search.
Well, now, the moratorium is temporary, Jeff Thompson. And what is supposed to happen during this four-month moratorium that will make it possible to bring consent searches back in some form or not?
Well, the city council believes there are four things to be accomplished in the interim. And by the way, we were told Monday night by the city manager he hopes to have a report from the consultants by mid-March. So this thing will be far less than 4 months, which was authorized by council. It went into effect on January 23rd, so it's been about 3 weeks now.
And just to be clear, those outside consultants are the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives, is that right?
That's right. It was chosen by the city manager to do the review. They have a 20-year history of these kinds of analysis. What the city manager and city council expects from them is four things: completion of the installation of audio-video systems in all 180 police cars. That will be accomplished, apparently, by about the first of the month. They want to better record locations and circumstances where traffic stops and searches are occurring. They want to improve the procedure by which people can make complaints to the police department, and I rather suspect that's going to result in the creation of a citizen review board, which is not uncommon in North Carolina. Four major cities already have them. And it also may, in some way or another, restrict or do away with consent searching. That remains to be seen.
So, John Midgett, what's wrong with studying how consent searches are used in Fayetteville?
There's nothing wrong with studying it, and Jeff has brought up several ways that the city intends to do that. What they can't do is issue an unlawful moratorium that violates or sets aside state law. First of all, let me say that if this group is going to finish their study by mid-March, that's astounding to us that you can finish a very important study over a very important topic in such a short period of time. Secondly, while I might dispute what Jeff is talking about in terms of other states on their consent search, in North Carolina specifically, General Statute 15A states that specifically provides that North Carolina law enforcement officers have the authority to perform consent searches as a lawful and appropriate law enforcement tool. And GS 168-174 specifically prohibits local governments from setting ordinances that are not consistent with state with the state and federal or the state law and state and federal constitutions. So with that in mind, you can look at all of these issues and you can do it perfectly appropriately under the broad authority that local governments have, but you cannot do it through an unlawful authority in declaring a moratorium that sets aside the state law.
I want to take a call here. Fred is on the line from Raleigh. Fred, thanks for calling the State of Things.
Hi, I'm Fred Baggett. I'm the counsel to the North Carolina Association of Chiefs of Police. Obviously, we're interested. There's a misconception that you continue in this program. You call it the ability to ask for a consent search on a hunch.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the words you use. That's not the case in North Carolina. And, Jeff, the case is State v. Parker, 2007, our Court of Appeals, says you've got to have a reasonable suspicion even to ask for a consent to search. That is, suspicion that something else other than traffic violation is going on in that on or about that vehicle. So you can't just stop on a minor traffic violation and ask for a consent search. Even if consent is given, if there's not reasonable suspicion that's based on, the consent is no good, and neither is the search.
Well, I suppose in any case, I mean, reasonable suspicion is open to interpretation. Jeff Welty, what's your response to that?
I think that interpretation of Parker is right and wrong, and in order to understand that, you need to distinguish between an officer who asks for consent during a stop, while the stop is ongoing and the license hasn't been returned yet. And for that, I think it's right that you need some level of articulable suspicion. versus an officer who asks for consent after the stop is complete and he's returned the motorist's license. And for a request for consent at that point, anything goes. The officer can ask for any reason or for no reason at all, just like any person on the street isn't prohibited from walking up to another person and asking them for consent. But there's no requirement of articulable suspicion for requests after the stop is over.
I want to get a voice here with, I believe, some personal experience with a consent search. Juan is on the line from Raleigh. Juan, welcome to the State of Things.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me on board. I just have a quick question to the professor. As a driver, when a driver gets pulled over, is they have the right to record the conversation between the officer and the driver?
Jeff Welty?
That's a great and nationally really, really controversial question. I think generally in North Carolina, the answer to that is yes. North Carolina is what's called a one-party consent state, which means that any party to a conversation can record it. There's some wrinkles to that in other states, but I think in North Carolina, for the most part, you're within your rights to record an interaction that you have with an officer.
Juan, while you're on the line, I want to ask you if you've had personal experience with a consent search and what that was like.
Yes, I did. And that's why I was just, 4 years ago, I have no experience and no idea that that could be done. And I, unfortunately, I was at that time, I was driving my girlfriend, which is now my wife's car. And I got pulled over for the good reason. Obviously, her license plate sticker was out because she did not receive it over the mail. So I was driving her car, and unfortunately, I got pulled over for that reason. And then automatically, the officer gave me that look about searching my car, my girlfriend's car at that time. And I didn't know any rules about, and now that I'm, I hear the conversation about the driver can deny to for the search of the car. And although I didn't know the time, and because I didn't have any anything on me, I just decided to let the officer proceed with the search. But really, the officer he didn't politely. He was not polite at all, and then just basically he just told me he's going to search the car. So I don't know if that was legal or not, but I was kind of the off experience.
Well, and I want to ask you before you go, Juan, and I do thank you for calling in. I think one of the questions that revolves around this is, if you didn't have anything in the car and if there was no problem there, was it a problem for the officer to ask to search your car? I mean, what's wrong there?
Well, I think the problem to me was just because I wasn't on the car and, obviously I knew that my girlfriend didn't have anything illegal, but I mean, to me, just the fact that he just pulled me over for that reason for the sticker, and then all of a sudden he just changed his mind and automatically he didn't ask me. He just said, "I'm gonna have to search your car." That's a little bit overpower for the police officer at that time.
Juan, I really want to thank you for calling in, and Jeff Thompson. Let me go back to you and ask you whether this. That call resonates with you, and whether that is that's the issue that you and others are so concerned about, just the feeling that there's too much power and that people, I suppose, feel that they shouldn't just be able to be subjected to this, what feels random to them, although certainly it does not feel random to the police.
Absolutely, and I commend the professor, by the way, for his analysis. I think he's been spot on throughout. What's been lost in all of this is that when police officers seek permission to conduct a search, citizens very often feel enormous pressure to say yes. But in many criminal cases, judges do not acknowledge those pressures. There have been any number of studies that have been done about driver interviews following such instances, and they simply conclude that they were afraid of what might happen to them if they said no. And they do not understand their constitutional rights. And by the way, that's not an ethnic thing. I think statistics will show that most people aren't aware of their Fourth Amendment rights to say no or even ask why. And by the way, as to the moratorium legality, the professor also spot on, as opposed to Mr. Midget's insistence, he knows the law better than I. This is a temporary effort to suspend a permissive ordinance, a permissive policy which is enabling. It's not a required action that police must take. It's enabling, and that, by the way, was the opinion of Professor Freda Bluestein of the School of Government at Chapel Hill, who advised the city council that, in addition to everything else, a governing board may in some circumstances have a legal and fiduciary responsibility to limit enforcement activities if there's a possibility of liability for their failure to do so. So we have an undefined, unclarified matter of law and a responsible action, we believe, by the local governing body to at least suspend the activity for a brief period of time to study what's going on.
John Midget, I do want to ask you, clearly, as Jeff Welty said earlier, raw numbers are notoriously slippery. But just going back to some of the figures we were talking about earlier, and, you know, say in a given period, as the police chief told the council, you have 17%, say, and I'm sure that that varies over time, but say about 17% of these searches turning up contraband. Clearly, turning up contraband a good thing, but also surely the 83% of motorists who were asked for a search and nothing was found have a right to drive around Fayetteville and not be searched.
Well, let me first address what was just said about this is an unsettled case. Until there is a court case, it's unsettled. But the law is clear. The law, we have law that says that officers can do this under state authority. We have law that says that city councils cannot impose restrictions on that state law. So that is clear and is a violation of the law until a court says otherwise or rules on it. Now, that may come to this where there will be a decision to go along with the law. So first, I wanted to clarify that. Secondly, numbers are very slippery. The courts have long ruled through multiple decades involving such things as bias-based stops by police, that more than statistics alone must be found before you can just go into a position where you feel something is going on. This is a very serious allegation, and if true, then officers that were guilty of this, and what Juan said earlier from Raleigh, if he was subjected to that, that is an issue that needs to be looked at, and those kind of matters need to be stopped, and officers need to be brought to be accountable to the fullest extent of the law. However, when we did a public record check with the city of Fayetteville, we went back to 1985 asking for one single complaint of race-based or racial profiling traffic stops by police in Fayetteville, and there is not one recorded instance where that occurred. So what you need, you start with statistics, but you have to have other information. Not just because I'm saying so, but because our courts have said so, that pursuant to the rule of law, we are all subject to that. And otherwise, we're going to start making decisions based on feelings and personal thoughts rather than the rule of law. And that would lead to a situation where we all would not be protected. And one final thing, the citizens of Fayetteville that are subject to so much crime, they are the true victims here. They are still being victimized by crime. And limiting the tools by which police can use to protect them and the police officers themselves, I think, is a very serious miscarriage of justice.
Jeff Thompson, why not just do this investigation with the outside consultants without the moratorium?
I suppose it could have been done, and it should have been done. For 15 months, this controversy has swirled through the community. The city council took absolutely no interest in it until about Christmas time, immediately following the election, and I guess decided maybe it was about time they intervened. At any time along the way, they could have asked the city manager to review policy and procedures and police behaviors. They chose not to do that and instead took this moratorium route, which certainly is questionable, but it'll be behind us in another month or so.
We've only got a minute left, but Jeff Welty, I want to return to you and ask you, given what we've heard it sounds to me that there are a number of questions of law involved in this case, not just about consent searches themselves, but about the moratorium and about city government's authority versus state and federal government. Do you see this case, I guess, what do you see this case leading to, and do you see it leading to some very interesting rulings perhaps about these sorts of things?
That's a possibility, but I'll tell you what I hope that this situation leads to, and that is to a collaborative effort between the police and the city council to identify and address any problems that may be going on. I think in cities across the state, like in Winston-Salem, where the placement of police checkpoints has been an issue, you see a collaborative effort between police and the city council to try to resolve problems in their community. And I hope it's not too late to have an outcome like that in Fayetteville, where despite the rancor that we've seen so far, folks get on the same page and work to make law enforcement in the city better.
Well, I think that's a good note to end on. I want to thank all of you for joining us. Certainly a lot more to talk about. Jeff Welty is an assistant professor of public law and government at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Jeff Thompson is a talk show host on WIDU AM radio in Fayetteville and serves as chairman of the Fayetteville Advisory Committee on Transit. And John Midget is executive director of the North Carolina Police Benevolent Association. Thanks so much to all of you.
Thank you.
Just ahead, hope and tragedy intermingle in the story of an Olympic hopeful in Rwanda. Stay with us on The State of Things.